Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There's a lot of anti-Semitism in the world, specifically hatred of the Jews, and it's come out in two events on the West Coast this past week. One, of all people, Mel Gibson, arrested for drunk driving, and he unleashes this heinous, racist, verbal attack on the Jews. It's just devastating. So I want to talk through that, and then just outside of Seattle, a Muslim man went into an office building where the Jewish Federation was located, and it was almost all women in there, 18 women, one guy. He started shooting women. He murdered one, injured five others, including a pregnant woman. Want to talk about that, as he said how he hated Israel. And meanwhile, in the Middle East, two events are making things more difficult for Israel. One, that they hit with one of their missiles, they hit a United Nations post, a permanent post, and killed four UN officials. And the second was the bombing in the town of Kana, which killed apparently over 30 children. And one of the UN soldiers who was killed had complained via email that Hezbollah, the terrorist, were using his UN post as cover for firing their rockets. And he was saying, Israel is hitting awfully close to our post, but they're not targeting us. They're doing it out of necessity. That's one of the guys who are dead, said Israel was justified because the Hezbollah terrorists are hiding behind the UN observers firing their weapons. And not only that, Israel leaflitted these buildings in Kana and said, if you're a civilian, leave because we're going to bomb. Because according to the Prime Minister of Israel, over 100 Katyusha rockets have come from this area in Kana. And Hezbollah, they intentionally hide behind women and children. They fire their weapons from behind women's skirts. And then when Israel goes to defend themselves, the women and children are killed. And it's the fault of those cowardly terrorists hiding behind women and children. And the terrorists, Hezbollah, are intentionally targeting Israeli women and children. And Israel is warning the Lebanese, get out of there, we're going to bomb. And then the world blames Israel and not the terrorists. So I want to talk about what goes into anti-Semitism. But first, there's something else anti we have to talk about. Joe Scott is in studio. Joe, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks, Bob.
Joe is nationally known pro-life leader, lives in Denver with her husband, Ken and Joe Scott. Mrs. Ken Scott is here.
That's right.
And there is a protester who gives all protesters a bad name.
Yeah, there is.
Right?
Actually is.
The Reverend Fred Phelps. He is vulgar, vile.
And so are his protesters, his family.
His family. He runs a church, right, in Topeka, Kansas?
Westboro Baptist.
Yeah, and they travel not only around Kansas, but they've been here in Denver, Colorado Springs. They go around the country protesting, and when his daughters speak, they can't hardly speak without using four-letter words.
That's right.
They're vulgar, filthy, and they do this in the name of God, and they protest against homosexuality primarily. And they're so disgusting and despicable, and then they've come up with a new tactic, which is beyond all vile tactics.
Oh, it's just horrible. They've been picketing soldiers who die in Iraq. They've been picketing their funerals here in America because America has decided to accept homosexuality. So they are picketing innocent men who are protecting their right to picket.
Yeah, right. So they go to the funerals of our soldiers who have died on the battlefield. And they go there and they say that they're glad these men died, that because God hates America, these guys, they should be dead, and somehow in a perverse way connecting them. Now, some of these people who die are Christians.
That's right.
Some of them are completely against homosexuality, and they're protesting, saying they're glad they're dead because America supports homosexuality, so these guys should be dead.
Their signs say, "Thank God for dead soldiers," which is despicable.
Yeah, it is utterly disgusting. And so what do you do with a protester as vile as Fred Phelps and his family and his daughters, unfortunately? What do you do with them since they're giving us Christian protesters such a bad name?
You protest them, Bob.
You protest them? That's what you guys did.
Yeah.
See that? Our call screener thought, hey,
protest
why don't you protest them?
Yeah.
They did it already.
Yeah.
He just wrote a sign, protest him. Ken and Joe Scott organized a protest in Topeka, Kansas, and you guys just did this, and it seems like it went over rather well.
It did. It went over really well. What happened was the Phelps family hired the ACLU to represent them in the church picket suits that are out there in Topeka against him,
right,
or in Missouri against him. So we thought that was hypocritical.
Hypocritical, because the Phelps family is willing to make such long connections that if America legalizes homosexuality, then we are glad that these soldiers are being killed in a war in Iraq.
That's right.
So that's quite a long connection to make that. And yet they hire the ACLU, which is radically pro-homosexual.
That's right. That's exactly what we did. So we made signs. They did that. We made signs that said, hypocrite, repent, Phelps in bed with the ACLU. And we went to Westboro Baptist Church.
And now I want to hear more about that. But first, I've seen those signs only because I saw the video clip that we will link to from our website, kgov.com. From the NBC News affiliate out there in Topeka, they sent a reporter out. And so what I'd like to do is play just the intro of that clip. It was a pretty lengthy report on your protest. They showed the signs. They start out with two different reporters setting this up, and then they go to an audio clip from you, Joe Scott. And then there's a gentleman who speaks. Who is he?
Gene Fry, a friend of ours.
Gene
from Kansas City, I think.
All right, Gene Fry, Christian pro-lifer.
Uh-huh.
And then they go to one of Fred Phelps' daughters, and then we won't play the last few minutes. We'll come back, and you could explain it further. All right,
okay.
Let's go.
A strange turn of events for a local controversial church. On July 21st, the American Civil Liberties Union of Eastern Missouri filed a lawsuit on behalf of Shirley Phelps Roper, a member of Topeka's Westboro Baptist Church. But the ACLU has always been known for supporting homosexuals, something the church is strongly against. 27 News reporter Megan Farley spoke with a group that traveled to Topeka today to protest that partnership. Megan, what'd they have to say?
Well, Robin, many of their signs read hypocrisy loud and clear. I could see him picketing the ACLU more than I can see him picket a dead soldier's funeral.
It's not a consistent view. ACLU is one of the biggest supporters of homosexual views.
Eugene Fry is part of a group that traveled to the Westboro Baptist Church Sunday to question a new partnership between the ACLU and the Phelps family.
The ACLU provides a service, and they are good at what they do.
Boy, that's their justification, huh?
Pretty weak.
Pretty weak. And quite a compromise there, and I think you nailed them with hypocrisy. They will ridicule the family mourning the death of their son on the battlefield and ruin a funeral for one of our soldiers.
One of our heroes.
One of our heroes, and it's because of this long connection between this could be a Christian young kid going off to fight against Al-Qaeda, the Taliban in Afghanistan, in Iraq. And he's fighting Islamic terrorism. And here, our government, we know our government is wrong for supporting homosexuality. But to make that perverse tie and to be glad that this kid is dead and to celebrate it and to ruin his funeral, that is a long, sick connection. That they've made. And now here's the same Fred Phelps in the Westboro Baptist Church, and they go to the ACLU because they provide a good service?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So your signs said,
hypocrite, repent, and Fred Phelps in bed with the ACLU, and God will not be mocked, because that is a mockery.
Yeah. Yeah, and they are vulgar. Years ago, they were in Colorado, and I wanted to confront them for their style of how they protest, and invited someone in the studio, and one of Fred Phelps' daughters came in, two of them. And during the interview, this woman started using four-letter words. You know, immediately we stopped her and reprimanded her and told her, you know, you do that again and you're off the air, and it's vulgar and filthy. But that's the way they talk, just filthy, crude. It's bizarre, really.
It's second nature to them. When I was being interviewed by the reporter, Ken was going door to door. They own an entire square block, and a bunch of them live on that square block. And he was going from door to door, knocking on the doors and leaving a pamphlet that we had written up for them.
And that's where their church is, also on that same block.
And this Shirley Roper came out and just was reading Ken the Riot Act. I didn't hear it, and I asked Ken, well, what was she saying? He said, I can't repeat it. There was just a string of vulgarities. It's like she's used to just throwing them out whenever she feels like it. It wasn't something that she had to stop and think about.
And they do it in public. They do it before the media. They do it with young kids around.
That's right.
Which is just, it's hard to process. But so anyway, how did they handle being protested?
They didn't like it.
They didn't
like it one bit.
I don't quite understand that. You know, Joe, we've been protested.
Yeah.
At Bob and Yurt Live, seminars I've done. And when we have protesters, typically we do at least one of two or three different things. We will invite them in so they could speak to our group. If I'm doing a seminar, come on in and come up front, get the podium, and we'll have a debate. That's one thing we do.
That's fun.
Yeah. If I'm speaking at somebody else's church it's too awkward for whatever, then we will go to them and say, can we get you pizza? Are you hungry? Do you want?
Give them drinks.
Yeah, drinks. We brought one group cookies. It was so funny. Homemade chocolate chip cookies, which are so hard to resist.
I know.
And this one kid, he's dressed like Marilyn Manson. And this woman comes out and says, would you like some homemade chocolate chip cookies? And he said, oh, I'm sorry, I just ate. He's like so polite, like Marilyn Manson. So anyway, okay, so they didn't like being protested.
Not at all. They wouldn't answer their doors, but she happened to be in the yard watering by the time that Ken got around to that side of the block. And Ken was about to walk up to her door, and she wanted him not to trespass and called the police and just started screaming, which was unbelievable, according to Ken, you know.
Yeah, her vulgarity.
Right.
And a bit of an overreaction.
A bit.
Okay. All right. So did you end up with any interesting interactions?
Yeah, we did. A car drove up to the outside of the Westboro Baptist Church, and a young girl ran and checked the doors and ran back to the car. So Ken and I decided to talk to the occupant, the driver, and it turns out that it was Fred Phelps' oldest daughter.
Okay.
And she listened to what we had to say, because she said, why are you here? And we told her, and she said, with some hesitancy, she said, do you want to hear my response? And we said, yeah, we're here to talk to you. And she calmed down. She was nervous, not agitated. She calmed down and started to have a normal conversation with us. And within that conversation, we find out that they are five-point Calvinists. They believe God predestined everything.
So they think everything was predestined, so that the battle over homosexuality, they believe that God is funding both sides.
Right.
He's funding Queer Nation and ACT UP and all those groups, and he's funding the Christian side.
Right.
But he's not only funding both sides, like the abortion battle, he's funding Planned Parenthood and Operation Rescue, but he's also orchestrating both sides.
That's right.
And he's planning both sides.
So why bother to protest was my question.
It is a little bit weird to get up in arms over something God is doing.
Right.
A little bit weird, but okay, so anyway, that came up.
That came up, but I didn't want to stay on a theological. I was trying to get information in, as much information as I could about her and her family. And she told me that she has two autistic children and she's been a bit shunned by the family. She can't picket with them anymore, and they called her a couple of years ago and told her she could come to the church. But the church is odd because when we called to find out what time the services were, they said around the 11 o'clock hour.
Around 11 o'clock.
Yeah. And she knew to try the door before.
In other words,
they're not always there.
They're not always there. It's their family that is the church.
I asked her about that. She said there's about 60 members, including children and everything, mostly families. Mm. Few that are not the family.
Okay. So now when she said that her family is sort of shunned and she has two autistic kids, did she connect those two? Like, did she imply that they shun her because?
Yes, she did imply that. And she implied that she said that that family has communication problems, and she believed that autism was throughout the family.
Oh, so she's saying that she thinks that her dad, Fred Phelps, and their family is a little bit ill,
unable to communicate because of mentally being incapable.
And, you know, of course, that is possible to some degree.
Yeah.
You know, God made Adam and Eve perfect, and through 6,000 years of sin, we've been degenerating.
Yeah.
We don't function as well as when he made us. So a large part of our bad behavior is sin directly. Some of it is because people are broken and they can't think straight.
Right.
Some of it. But that's the minority.
She was a really nice woman. I enjoyed talking to her, but also felt sorry for her because her dad and her have been estranged for a long time. She said that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not accepted, and she was a little bit seemed broken, hurt, very hurt. And so we were trying to minister to her at the same time we were talking to her.
Wow. All right. Well, anything else? Is that pretty much how the whole event went?
Yeah, it is. We picketed them. They weren't used to it. They didn't like it. The reporters in Topeka hate them. So they were there.
So the reporters, this NBC affiliate, they got a kick out of it.
Oh, yeah. We weren't getting there fast enough. They called us and said, where are you? We said, well, we're a little lost. So they gave us complete directions to make sure we made it.
So the reporters made sure you got to the protest.
Yeah.
And the protesters were protested. They didn't like it.
Right.
And so you guys did probably the only thing that could be done
to annoy
Fred Phelps, some kind of poetic justice.
Yeah.
While we're still on this side of Judgment Day. All right. Okay. Now, Joe, I would like to continue to talk about the issues I brought up in the intro about the anti-Semitism and what's going on in Israel. So perhaps you could join me.
Sure.
Just hang out, all right?
Uh-huh.
If to start with, you know, anti-Semitism, we Christians should have a good understanding of the world around us. And if we do, then we gain credibility with others when we talk with them, because they might ask a question. And if we have the answer, then they're like, oh, wow, that's insightful. And then when we share the gospel with the same person, they might be more inclined to listen and consider.
And trust.
And trust us, right?
Yeah.
So Sunday morning, 5:30 in the morning, I'm at Starbucks in Arvada, Colorado. And on my computer screen are the words, understanding anti-Semitism. And so this woman comes by, and she's Jewish. I've seen her in there in the past and talked to her a little bit. And she says to me, why is it that there's so much anti-Semitism in the world? I said, well, two of the reasons are that when people hate God, and God chose Abraham, and he is now the God of Abraham. So when people hate God, they naturally tend to hate Abraham and to hate his descendants. That's one reason. And the second reason is when they hate God, they hate God's law. And God's law came to the world through Israel, through Moses and the Ten Commandments. So they hate God and they hate God's law, and they connect that with Israel. And so that's two reasons why they hate God. And she said, boy, that's a good point. I never thought of that.
Now, most people don't, Bob.
No, right. Uh-uh. And she's not a Christian, but I've witnessed to her a bit and, you know, hope to continue. But so there's plenty of reasons why people hate the Jews, and all of those reasons are evil. All kinds of racism is evil. But you remember the flack about Mel Gibson and his father, Hutton Gibson,
yes. Uh-huh.
Who is an outright racist.
Right.
Yeah, he writes, and he's been interviewed on national radio, that he pretty much just hates the Jews. He says that the Holocaust never happened. The Jews faked it. They have Holocaust museums as a Jewish gimmick to make money, things like that.
Yeah.
That just, you know, that's just one example.
All of that was in the news when Mel Gibson made that movie, The Passion.
Yeah, The Passion of the Christ. And Mel Gibson was asked about his father's beliefs and his father saying the evil in the world, you trace it to the Jews and all. And Mel Gibson sadly gave a bad response. He said, I love my father. Nothing will come between me and my father. And that was it.
Yeah.
What he should have said was, because I love my father, I condemn what he says. Because those kind of lies are the very things that lead to the death of innocence. He should have forcefully condemned what his father says and does. But he didn't. So now, this weekend, 2 a.m, Mel Gibson is arrested for DUI.
I heard about it.
And the arresting officer, now here's Mel Gibson with all, you know, he's virtually a billionaire now with the money made from The Passion of the Christ. And typically, if you don't have a good relationship with God, you're going to be miserable. No matter how much money you have, that's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. No matter how popular you are, if you have a bad relationship with God, that will generally lead toward bad relationships with other people around you. So Mel Gibson is an alcoholic, and 2 a.m, he's speeding. He gets stopped, DUI. He's being arrested, and he is cussing, filthy mouth, sort of like Fred Phelps, only against the Jews, saying things that certainly I won't repeat, wouldn't try to repeat, but the most vulgar, imaginable, filthy cussing against the Jews. He says the Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. And he asked the arresting officer, he said, are you a Jew? You're a Jew? Blankety blanking Jews. And I think this is really sick. This is sick. It's evil. And it's sin. We're talking to Joe Scott.
It's huge sin.
Joe Scott, pro-life leader. And Joe, thank you for being here. So liberals, though, they say people are basically good.
I know.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's their big thing. People are basically good. Now, maybe they...
You have to be sick in order to do something wrong. You know, even if you're poor, it's a sickness, according to them.
Yeah, right. In other words, nobody's really responsible
right.
for being evil except for the Republicans.
Yeah, because Republicanism isn't a sickness.
Yeah, it's a wickedness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ronald Reagan and the Republicans are evil, but no one else is evil. It's just something different they're doing.
Yeah.
But when liberals say people are basically good, apparently they've never read a newspaper or a history book, I guess. You know, how do you create child molesters? Just have Al Gore invent the internet.
That's right.
You invent the internet, and then you get undercover detectives to pretend to be 13-year-old boys, and homo child molesters pop up everywhere. As fast as they could arrest them, they pop up.
That's right.
So anyway, people are not basically good. They're basically evil. And the only thing people need to hate others, there's only one thing they need. Do you know what it is?
Yeah. The opportunity to hate them.
That's it. All they need is the opportunity. And then if you add to the opportunity some kind of lie against the Jews, then you increase the likelihood that people will be racist anti-Semites. Now, in Israel, Hezbollah is a terrorist organization. They're a terrorist organization because they're not a national government, yet they use force and lethal force to try to affect public policy. That's called terrorism.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that they're terrorists.
Yeah. Reuters can't figure that out.
No, I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Reuters will not use the word terrorist. And a terrorist is a certain kind of murderer. when a private individual or non-nations, a group, uses force or violence or murder to try to change public policy, that's terrorism. So that's what Hezbollah does. They're not a nation. They're not a nation. They're a terrorist organization. So they fire rockets on Israel and they aim at civilians, women, and children. That's what they aim at.
They're cowards.
Well, they are cowards. And if they send some 19-year-old in a suicide bomber, they say, go on a bus. You know, in Russia, the Muslim terrorist, they went to that school. Remember where hundreds of kids were murdered? And they go to school buses and crowds and wherever they can go where they get a lot of civilians. Israel attempts to target the terrorists. When they're going to bomb buildings with civilians, they've been leafleting the buildings saying, leave, we're going to bomb. Now, when they do that, that makes the war more difficult to wage because the terrorists read the leaflets too.
That's right.
And so they move also. But the terrorists, Hezbollah, they shoot their rockets from behind the skirts of women and from behind children. Israel drops leaflets, warns they're going to bomb, then they bomb, and women and children get killed, and the world blames Israel and not Hezbollah.
Well, you don't hear what Hezbollah is doing in the media either. You hear what Israel's doing to them and
right.
how those the children that died when Israel bombed
right.
were massacred, but you don't hear the other side of the story.
Yeah, right, exactly. And sadly, even when you do, a lot of people don't care because they just hate Israel. And they don't even necessarily know why they hate Israel. And so Israel, one of their missiles took out a United Nations post, killed four UN observers, and one of the dead observers is the one who put out the truth because he sent an email to a retired general in Canada just a couple days before he died. And he said, Israel's targeting, their missiles are hitting near our post, sometimes within 10 feet away. He said, but it's not their fault. They're not targeting us. They're targeting Hezbollah because they're operating right around our UN post. And so when those four got killed, a UN top official lied. He said there was no Hezbollah activity within 5,000 meters or something of that post. And he said, now Hezbollah has been operating near our other post, but not that one.
Why did he lie, Bob? Because the UN's anti-Semitic.
Yeah. That's true. Generally, we see anti-Semitism around the world. And the main reasons, I think, are because God is the God of Abraham and God's law came to us through Moses. Moses was six generations after Abraham, and people hate God and they hate his law. So there's a natural tendency to hate Israel. There's another reason, too, and that's because the Jews commonly prosper. They typically do well economically, and that's partly because their culture is heavily influenced by the Torah, the Hebrew Scriptures. And even if they reject the God of their Bible, which they do, tragically, because Jesus said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, because
mm-hmm.
Moses wrote of me. And you say you are sons of Abraham, well, Abraham worshiped God. And Jesus said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. You know, Jesus is the God of Abraham. So when you reject Jesus Christ, you are rejecting the God of Abraham. That is just so devastating. But even if you reject God, if you read his word and follow many of his precepts, you will prosper. You'll benefit. And the Jews do prosper.
Always they prosper.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought that because we have the Ten Commandments, that the liberals and just the world in general hate God because the Ten Commandments says that we're not basically good.
Mm.
We're basically evil, and we needed a law from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't want to hear that because we're basically good.
Yeah, any indication that there is a God and that we are not God—
Right.
That there is a standard of right and wrong that we will be held to or judged by, that angers people. In fact, Europe hates America largely because they think that our government is fundamentalist Christian. That's what they think.
I know.
I mean, that's how far to the left they are, that they look at America's government and they think it's reading right out of the Bible.
Right.
And we're here and we lament how godless our government has become. I mean, our government schools are officially godless, and our government promotes homosexuality and abortion and permits pornography and so many destructive, godless behaviors. But to Europeans, they think our government is rabid fundamentalist Christianity. They think that's what it is. So they hate us for that reason, and they hate Israel. The Bible presents Israel as the chosen people. And regardless of what that means, they don't know, but they just hate the Jews. So let's take a break. Joe, can you hang out?
I can hang out.
All right. Thanks so much. Okay. You're listening to Bob and Yurt Live. If you'd like to call in, our phone number is 1-800-8-N-Yurt. That's 1-800-836-9278.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
This is Bob and Yurt inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. Welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live. You can go to our website at any time, kgov.com. Listen to a show that you missed. Check out the archives. In fact, you could Google and search. For example, if you put my name, Enyart, E-N-Y-A-R-T, in with somebody you want to hear me debate with, like Coulter, Enyart, and Ann Coulter, the shows we did will pop right up. It's so cool. Google is amazing, Joe. Now, Joe Scott is in studio with us. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing well, Bob.
Google is taking over the world.
I know.
It's too bad they're pro-homo, pro-abortion.
Why can't Christians take over the world?
Yeah, what's with that? It's funny. That's what we try to do every day.
I know. We just have to do it faster and bigger.
Yeah, people say, so what are you doing today? I always say, trying to take over the world.
We could do it faster and bigger if more people supported you, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And when, you didn't know that was coming.
No. If I order something like a vegetarian meal at a Middle Eastern restaurant,
yeah,
a waitress looks at me like, you're ordering vegetarian? I always say, there are too many liberals. I have to outlive them.
You may not with those vegetarian meals.
That's a good point. All right. So what I'd like to do is continue to talk through the issues we brought up earlier about anti-Semitism, what's going on in America, what's going on in Israel.
Yeah, it's so important that people understand what's going on because you're not going to get it from the regular media.
Yeah, and the fact that Israel, that God chose Abraham, and Abraham loved God, and Abraham was willing to sacrifice his own son, Isaac, on Mount Moriah, which was the same mountain that Jesus Christ was sacrificed on 2,000 years later. When Abraham was willing to do that, that cemented the relationship between him and God. God really loved Abraham for doing that. And therefore, not only was there a prophecy that in this mount it shall be provided, the sacrifice, but then for the next 2,000 years, all the time, whenever God got so angry at Israel because the Jews were so wicked, like all the other peoples in the world, He wanted to destroy them, but he remembered his love for Abraham, and God was merciful, and he did not destroy them like he should have.
Right.
So
that's right.
Joe, let's go to the phones. In Denver, Colorado, Chester, you're on with Joe Scott and Bob Enyart.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Hi, Chester.
Hey, I got a question. You know, Bob, you answered it probably last hour here in Denver, but I just wanted to ask you again, and maybe there's a deeper reason to it, but why are people so anti-Semitic?
Why do they hate the Jews so much?
Right.
Because there are other Semites, but usually when we use the term anti-Semitic, we're talking about people who hate the Jews. And I think the two main reasons, Joe, you want to recount the ones we've covered so far?
Well, the fact that Abraham was the father of the Jews, mm-hmm. and then we have the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, so
comes down from Moses, and the liberals don't like laws that they don't make.
So people hate God. Jesus said they hate me. He said, so therefore they will hate you if you follow me.
Uh-huh.
And people hate God. And he is the God of Abraham. The whole world, where you have millions of people who are monotheists, they believe in one God, when you trace that back historically, it all goes to Abraham.
Right.
And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then Jacob's son, Levi. Levi had his son, let's see if I remember this, Kohath, had a son, Amram, had Moses. That's it. Just a handful of generations from Abraham to Moses with the Ten Commandments. And so you have God and God's law. Well, people hate God. They hate God's law. And so they identify the Jews with the God of Abraham. And that's one gut reaction reason why they hate the Jews. That's one reason. It's not all the reasons.
Right.
But, Chester, do you see that much of it so far?
Yeah, I sure do. But I was kind of thinking more in the terms of it being a little bit deeper, and this is where I wanted to ask you the theological question, Bob. Ephesians sits there and says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, right, but against the rulers and against authorities
right.
and the powers of the dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms.
And, Chester, I want to hear your question, but the answer we gave so far, to me, is a direct application of the passage you just read. In other words, they don't just hate the Jews who are running around in Israel right now. They hate the God of the Jews. This is a spiritual battle. But go ahead.
Yeah, I've also seen Christians, I hate to say it, hate, Jews too. And
oh, yeah, it's been historic.
It's prevalent.
Yeah.
Christian hatred of the Jews, yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about Mel Gibson that came up with the Passion of the Christ, and I saw him on a video stating that he wanted to come out with the passion to sit there and show the world and unbelievers, who Jesus Christ is and stuff like that.
Right.
And if he's a believer, I don't know if he is, but after his remarks, it has to be questioned about the Jews because Isaiah sits there and says, Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation, Isaiah 45 somewhere. And Romans, that goes along with Romans 11:25. Now, if you were God's adversary and you knew you had a short time to live, Revelation chapter 12, what would be the thing that you would do that you could do most productive against God, Bob?
Against God? Well, you could undermine people's belief in God. You could promote evolution. You could promote homosexuality, which insulates kids against the gospel. Because when they accept homosexuality, then they reject God's word. So you could attack the existence of God and the fundamental laws of God. Promote abortion, promote homosexuality, promote evolution and atheism. Those are some of the most fundamental things you could do to undermine the gospel.
I think that I know where Chester's going with this. I think he's going to say that you would destroy the Jews to undermine God.
That is Joe Scott, pro-life leader, who's joined me here in studio today. So, Chester, did Joe get it right?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you because, if Satan is able to sit there and destroy the Jews, then doesn't that keep God's promises and prophecies of coming true? in Luke 21:24 and Romans 11:25 and Isaiah what I read.
All right. And well, Jess, certainly that's a part of it. God has a special love for Israel because of his love for Abraham.
Uh-huh.
It's like my wife and I, Cheryl. There are a lot of kids in the world, but we tend to love our own kids the most. And then there are a lot of really little kids, but we tend to love our grandkids the most. And God has a special love relationship with Abraham. And Abraham had kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, and God has a special love. It doesn't mean he doesn't love Italians. I'm Italian.
Oh, no.
No, but he has a special love for Abraham's descendants, and he has a plan. In Romans, Paul wrote, "Do not be conceited. God has grafted in the Gentiles, in the body of Christ, but just as he's grafted in you, he could graft Israel back in again." And in fact, God has a general plan to do that. So there is a love for Israel that God maintains that is different from his love for other nations. And it is wise to love Israel, just as we should love every people in the world, every nation. We should love, but also confront and correct and rebuke, but also love. And so we should, our tendency should not be to hate the Jews, but to love them.
Well, I agree. I mean, in Zechariah, the Jews are the apple of his eye, but we're, you know, commanded to love one another. I think the biggest reason I love the Jews, and, well, I've talked to you before. I'm an Arab, you know, and my grandfather was from Syria, or my grandmother was from Syria, and my father was from Lebanon, and I can't understand why the heck they hate the Jews and things like that.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering when you said that this could be part of, you know, why? Because Satan goes around like a roaring lion trying to deceive and create so much chaos that, you know, maybe he would try to, you know, undermine God's plan by destroying or trying to destroy the nation.
Well, sure.
And that was just the question.
Sure. Yeah, that certainly is a fundamental part of it. Satan is concerned, and he does what he can to influence people. And the influence is to hate God and to hate anything about God. And so Europeans hate America partly because they think our government is fundamentalist Christian, which is bizarre. Our government is becoming officially godless, atheist. Our government schools, our courts are increasingly officially godless, but they hate God so much that we're not godless fast enough for them. So they hate us because we think the whole government is a bunch of fundies. Thank you, Chester. God bless you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, he gave us pastors like you. God bless you, Bob.
Oh, thank you, Chester. That's real nice. In studio, we have Joe Scott, who is a nationally known pro-life leader.
Bob,
so, go ahead, Joe.
Hollywood is in quite an upheaval right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because of Mel and his anti-Semitic remarks. And
right.
I have read that he's going to have a mini-series.
ABC.
And it's going to be about lovers during the Holocaust, and now nobody wants to do it. And if you work with Mel Gibson, you'll be blacklisted or whatever.
Well, yeah, there is a desire to cut him out, but that's difficult because he makes them $100 million every movie he's in. But I don't blame even unbelievers who make movies for saying, hey, look at this Mel Gibson. You know, we should not work with him if he's a racist. I agree with that.
Yeah.
If Mel Gibson came and said, hey, Bob, I want to do a promo for The Plot. Well, right now, I'd say no because, you know, that's easy to say because he's not offering me $100 million or to do a promo. But if you harbor hatred for the Jews, if that's what's in you, then you've got a real problem and you've got to come to terms with that. And he needs to condemn the writings of his father. Now he can't avoid that any longer. He's going to be challenged again, and he needs to condemn the writings of his father, and he needs to ask for forgiveness from Jews for the filthy things he said and the racist anti-Semitic remarks.
I thought he made some apology this morning. I didn't hear what it was, though.
Yeah, he apologized generically. He said he's an alcoholic. And he was drinking a lot, and he said things that he's ashamed of, and that were not true.
So he still needs to apologize to the Jewish people.
Yeah, that's too generic.
Yeah.
That's too generic. He needs to utterly condemn the racist writings of his father. He needs to admit that those writings have influenced him, those beliefs, and he is repudiating the writings of Hutton Gibson and his own anti-Semitic remarks, and he needs to ask for forgiveness from the Jewish community. That's what he needs to do.
I hope he does that before his feet are held to the fire and he has no other choice. I mean, when that happens, you wonder if it's genuine, if they've been held to the to the task by the media.
That's true. And he said to one of the cops, he said, "My career is over."
He did say that.
Yeah, he said that. But it's not over. Generally, when Hollywood sees a $100 million paycheck, they're not going to – they're going to hire Mel Gibson to make another movie. But the tragedy is that there are so many false teachings that go under the guise of Christianity. Mel Gibson and his father are in some kind of Catholicism, some extremist form of Roman Catholicism. But you don't have to go to Catholicism. There's plenty of hatred of the Jews among Protestants. In fact, Martin Luther was one of the greatest haters of all time, how his hatred for the Jews was so intense. He wrote a whole book about it called On the Jews and Their Lies. And he wrote, basically, what Hitler did is what Martin Luther wrote and said they should do. They should get all the Jews into camps. They shouldn't allow them to use the streets. They shouldn't allow them to live in town. They should kill them. Martin Luther wrote that the Christians should ask God for forgiveness because they had tried to share the gospel with the Jews.
I can't understand it, Bob. I just can't. I mean, Jesus was a Jew.
Yeah, Jesus was a
Jew. So where's the disconnect?
Well, the disconnect comes in. Remember that the only thing people need to hate one another is the opportunity. That's all they need. But then if you add some lies or false teaching or deception, then they'll hate all the more. And so Christianity has hated the Jews through the centuries, partly because of false teaching, which is this, that God is done with Israel. And that's a false teaching, right? Romans 11, Chester was referring to Romans 11. In fact, I write about this a lot in my manuscript, The Plot, which is an overview of the whole Bible. And if you get an overview of the Bible, that is the key to the details. When you understand the whole story, then the particular doctrines, they make sense. And that's why The Plot, for all these years, The Plot has been our number one all-time bestseller at Bob and Yaret Live. And not only do we have – it's a 330-page manuscript, but we also have it on audio tapes and on MP3 CDs. So people could enjoy it, listen to it in all different ways. But we show in there that God was working with Israel from Abraham through into the book of Acts. He's working with Israel. And he promised Israel a Messiah who would be raised from the dead, crucified and raised from the dead. Jesus Christ came. He's God the Son. He's our creator, our God. He died for not only Israel, but all the world. He's raised from the dead. And the 12 apostles are bringing the message of the Messiah resurrected to the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel rejected their own Messiah.
That's right.
Right? We read about that in the book of Acts, the first eight chapters. And God had threatened Israel in Jeremiah 18. God said to Israel, "If I promise to give you, I'm promising you a kingdom. I'm thinking I'm going to give you a kingdom. But if you are evil, I will not do that which I promised. I said I would. I will not do that which I thought I would do. I will not give you that kingdom if you're evil." So that's a threat. God is threatening Israel. The Messiah comes. He's raised from the dead. Peter is preaching in Jerusalem. Repent, and God will give us our kingdom. And the nation rejected their own Messiah. So God cut off Israel, and he grafted in the Gentiles in the body of Christ.
So because God cut off Israel, that's where some people take it to the extreme and believe that God.
Like Martin Luther.
Like Martin Luther.
And Christian leaders back through the centuries.
Right. And they believe that God now hates Israel because he cut them off.
Right. As though they are now worthless, they're irredeemable. But the Apostle Paul, as he's describing this in Romans 11, he says, but I don't want you to be ignorant to think that God is done with Israel, because he's not. God cut off Israel, but temporarily. He cut them off temporarily. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, God will return to Israel. And Paul said, just as God was able to graft in the Gentiles, so too he's able to graft in Israel again. In fact, Paul said that's even more natural for God to do that, because they were grafted into the root, which is Christ.
Right.
They were grafted into the vine before the Gentiles were. So God is able to graft them back in again, and he will. So you could trace through history the perversion of the Apostle Paul's teaching that now, like the Roman Catholic Church, they think God is done with Israel. So through centuries, you see anti-Semitism in the Catholic Church, and you see it in the Reformation intense, especially with Martin Luther, going all the way up to the present day, where Christians hate the Jews and they will spread lies about the Jews, and they use theology as an excuse that God tried Israel, it didn't work, so he's done with the Jews. And that's not true. God has a special love for Israel.
I was just in Florida with a group of Catholics, and they told me that the Jews killed Christ. So it led to interesting conversations and a great opportunity to witness, but that's what they believe.
And when they say that, they don't mean it as a matter of historical fact. Of course, the Romans killed Christ. The Romans did. But the Jews were requesting that he be killed, and it was the Jewish leaders. It was the high priest,
right,
Caiaphas, and his father-in-law, Annas. And it was the crowd of Jews who were shouting, "Crucify him." But the Jews had no authority to execute. It was the Romans. So it was the Gentiles who actually killed Christ. It was the Jews and Gentiles together. But the racism that's become part of Christianity in so many denominations focuses in on Jews being the Christ killers.
Right.
Which is tragic.
It is tragic. And these people that I was talking to, they don't have a background in the Bible or much teaching at all. They grab this little soundbite and make it doctrine in their life.
Right. Now, did that come up because of the news in the Middle East with the war? Is that how you got to
that
the Jews killed Christ?
Right.
So in other words, and they were Catholics.
Right.
And the Catholics are not known for studying their Bible all that much. But as far as they know, the Jews are evil. Hey, the Jews are evil. They deserve Hezbollah sending rockets on Israel.
Yeah, because they stole their land.
Yeah, just devastating.
Yes.
Okay, we're out of time. Thank you, Joe Scott.
You're welcome,
Bob.
It's
an honor to have you in the studio on KGov.com. That's our website. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.